This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show, covering all aspects of lacrosse in upstate New York, high school, college, and professional. Brought to you by Empower Federal Credit Union, Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, Kenny and Kenny Law, Tully's, Ballin Oral Surgery, Burger King, and Highfield Enterprises. Here are your hosts, Syracuse lacrosse legend Rick Beardsley and Stephen Fonte.
Oh, you're a Syracuse lacrosse legend.
Hold on,
now.
They dropped my four-time All-American thing?
They did.
Wow. Well, I'm a six-time, so they got that wrong. Sorry, guys.
It's just the only 60-minute radio show in Central New York dedicated entirely to the sport of lacrosse, Stephen Fonte, and the SU lacrosse legend,
wow,
Rick Beardsley.
Wow, legend. Will I get my number retired? No.
You should. Don't you know people? Don't you have some pull?
I have lots of pull in, like, pizza places. Places like that, high carbohydrate type joints.
Not up on the hill, though.
I have lots of pull in certain establishments in the hill.
I bet you do.
That would be at Harry's. I have some good little pull there with John. I have been there a few times in my life. I used to work there, as a matter of fact, Steve. I bet you tried to get in back in the old days, and I probably let you in because you're the man.
I was going to say, you served as a bouncer there?
What I would do is if a scuffle broke out, I knew one thing about...
You were the muscle.
Yeah, I knew one thing about scuffles. Usually everybody blows themselves out in about 30 seconds, and then they have nothing left in the tank. You jump into a scuffle.
So you're like a hockey referee. You just kind of skate around for a couple seconds.
And then you come in.
That's smart.
Yeah.
See? You're smarter than I give you credit for.
Yes. A lot of guys, I don't actually sound too intelligent most of the time, but yes.
All right. We've got another SU lacrosse legend coming on the show later today. Steve Panarelli set to join us at about 9:30. Former All-American, former national champ, current lacrosse analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the state of college lacrosse and look around the rest of the nation. That's coming up in about a half hour from now. We have to start with SU Hopkins, though, Rick. And this was a game that, you know, it was tight throughout, and then fourth quarter comes, and Syracuse just flips a switch, outscores the Blue Jays 6-1 in that fourth quarter, and comes from behind to beat Johns Hopkins 14-10.
Yeah, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
What changed in that fourth quarter?
I think they started to believe in themselves, finally. Also, Hopkins' defense had some, you know, had some troubles with Syracuse's offense, which was very surprising to me. Syracuse's offense is reasonably easy to understand. But when the ball went behind, again, the one thing we talked about all last season that Syracuse did not do was put the ball behind the goal. And now they've been doing that, and it's been turning the defense around, getting heads swung, and cuts have happened. Hopkins had such trouble with that Syracuse offense. And Hopkins got up on the Cuse right away. I mean, it was like almost trying to take the air out of it and take the air out of the Cuse, and then they fought it back, and you got to finish strong. You got to, maybe the team is, maybe this is the win that turns them. I mean, they got a tough Rutgers team who stumbled, by the way, against Lehigh. Kind of a, people called it a trap game, and it was.
Yeah, Hopkins jumped out to a 5-1 lead, but as you said,
that's
SU
a
just
tough
kept
one to come back on in a Division I lacrosse game.
Yeah, anytime you get down by, the magic number seems to be four or more. You get down by four or more, you're in a whole lot of trouble, but
I think
it was
the shot
early
clock
enough that
had
Syracuse
something to
came
do
back
with that. Right. Shot clock forced a bunch. The one thing I'm amazed, I haven't seen many shot clock violations now. Compared to the first game, it was a bunch of shot clock violations all over the joint. And nowadays, they seem to be few and far between.
Jacob Buttermore really stepped up in this
game.
Finished with three goals, and he had some really big goals. All three came in the second half.
I mean, he's just, every time he gets his hands free, he puts it on the net. My buddy, Mike Hollywood Holdridge, loves the kid, thinks he's the greatest player known to man. He was so excited about that win, by the way. I couldn't believe it. Now, I'm not going to be honest with you. I'm excited about a Syracuse-Hopkins win. I have lots of friends who are Hopkins guys. Yes, Syracuse people, we become friends with our enemies at one point in life. As they said in Bronx Tale, keep your enemies right, keep your enemies close, right, and your friends away, whatever. I can tell you it was a good win, but Hopkins is really not that great, you know. You're supposed to beat a 17 if you're a top 10 team. And we need to, try and get ourselves back in the top 10. When they're in the top 10, folks, I will start to be positive. I promise you I will. When they're not on the outside looking in the tournament, I will 100% jump on the bandwagon just a tad more.
Buttermore, by the way, second on the team in goals scored right now with 9. Bradley Voigt still continues to lead the way with 12. You look at how the offense was distributed. last weekend against Johns Hopkins. 9 different goal scorers. And I know that we've talked a lot about this on the show in the past, Rick, about do you need to have that go-to guy, that, you know, alpha male that you just, you give the ball to, put it in his stick and say, all right, go make a play for us. I don't know as if we see it on this team right now.
I think
that
their
player
offense doesn't allow it.
Okay.
I really do. I think their offense is a very team-oriented offense. I don't think it allows an alpha male. I really don't.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing, but when it comes time for the big game, it's a bad thing. You have to have a player. You got to have a guy who's going to come out there and, you know, drop 6. A guy that always strikes the fear in a team when he gets the ball. A guy like Miles Jones, right? That's straight up, he just creates havoc when he has the ball. He's so big, right? And that's what I think about when I think of ACC midfielders, right? Guys that size, like Ryan McKenzie, who plays for me at CBA, you know, already 6'3", 210 pounds as a junior in high school. That's the type of midfielder that I think creates havoc. But Syracuse's offense, you know, seems to be very well balanced, which is not, like I said, a bad thing. But it's, I think you just have to have, you got to have a stud.
So
maybe Buttermore's the stud.
I was just going to say, so is that guy on this roster?
I mean, he played for Frank Urso, who's one of the greatest midfielders in the history of this game. A Hopkins 4-time first-team All-American down in Garnet Valley in Pennsylvania. And you got to remember, Buttermore's not a small guy either. 6'205". He's pretty good. You know, another big surprise, Peter Dirth.
Yeah.
My other buddy, Ryan, you know, Demarest, who's co-hosted the show with me when you've, you know, been on the playoffs last season. I mean, he thinks he's the best player on the team. Now, he played for a former All-American in Roy Colsey. You know, so both of those guys are getting pretty good coaching. And you know, they're scoring goals when needed. You know, the good thing is Syracuse is starting to score more goals in transition, so they're taking advantage of those things.
So it's Rutgers today, 1 o'clock face-off inside the Carrier Dome, another home game. We know how the schedule has been laid out where, you know, they've got the 7 straight home games to start the season.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Do you hear any rumors about? So I heard a couple things, folks. I don't know if you know this, Steve, but you're the news director at Channel 9. Your ear's always to the ground, Steve. I heard they're going to start playing games at CNS. I heard they're going to... Well, I know the girls are going to move against Duke to Cicero North Syracuse High School, right? Because of the NCAA hoops.
Right, I was going
to
say...
But then I heard they're going to start construction on the Dome.
So, I mean, that's obviously coming. You know, we know...
It has to come. Right. Listen, the way football has succeeded, you want to get this done. If it's not done... Where else are you going to play? You're going to have to get on the road, play at Rich Stadium, which would probably be greater, or whatever it is, that Rich Field, New Era Field now?
New Era Field, yes.
That would be, wow,
Buffalo.
I just showed
Orchard
my age.
Park.
That would 100% be awesome for like one game. And then...
But that would be hard if that was your home field.
That's what I mean. There'd be plenty. Listen, you'd get 50,000. Buffalo would 100% support them. You know that. You'd get them from all over. I mean, big-time football is big-time football. But I think, you know, what are they going to do, Steve? You tell me. I want to know about this because it involves lacrosse season.
So next week, as you bring up, the SU women are expected, it's not official yet, but they're expected to host the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament. Yes, that is what I've heard, that they're talking about moving the games to CNS because the Dome will be occupied with basketball.
They should move them to your alma mater.
I think you're saying that sarcastically. You happy, by the way? No snow on the ground? Have you guys been able to get out on the field?
Scrimmage today against Pelham, the defending Section 1 Class C champions at 2 o'clock. Then we play Rome Free Academy. Guy Calandra, my buddy, coming over. We had South Jeff bail on us. They had some issues with travel. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, West Jenny, by the way, scrimmaged West Hill. Heard a little bit about that one. West Jenny's D was a little shaky, but, you know, they were solid across the board. West Hill was solid across the board. They got their hockey players back. You know, they're the defending Class C section champs here, and we moved up to Class C, so we're striving to be like West Hill and all those big guys here. You know, we're the only team that when we win, we move up. But with the other teams, when they win, they move down.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to me, but it's all good. Bring it on, brother.
Yeah, we went through a very similar thing at Ludden with basketball that, you know, you win games.
Well, when you hit too many threes, that's what happens. I mean...
Ludden plays double A now in basketball.
Okay, I know that, and they're very good, by the way. How many? And is Gallagher Driscoll the head coach?
He is now, yeah.
I do love Gallagher. What a good guy. How many career three-pointers, Steve?
I don't know.
You do know, Steve.
No,
don't
I don't.
Lie.
I don't know,
Steve,
off the top of my head.
You do.
We're not going down this road. Nobody
I can tell
cares.
You, I don't know. How, I really, you're going to laugh at me. I don't know how many career goals I have.
I. It doesn't surprise me because why would we look at our stats? Why do we care?
I look at my stats all the time. It's always good to feel good about yourself. Whenever you're having a bad day, listen, when I look in the mirror at 45, I'm having a bad day. But then I think about, man, I had a hat trick against Brown in 1995.
That makes you feel better?
I'm looking at flabs instead of abs. So it's the way it works.
What can you tell me about Rutgers today as we get back to lacrosse?
Oh, Rutgers just comes at you from everywhere. Listen, Big Ten lacrosse has certainly stepped its way up. You know, they straight up will be a tough one. Even though they stumbled, Rutgers is going to come in and...
Another like, one of these teams that beat SU
not,
last
yeah,
year.
They're not intimidated whatsoever. I mean, they're just not. Rutgers, they've always played the Cuse tough. By the way, a lot of big Rutgers alums are in town. You got Greg Rinaldi, a former first-team All-American. He actually owns Superior Seal and Paving. Greg, I know, will be at that game. But I'll tell you what, it's you know, Rutgers, in notes comparison, are very similar, right? Rutgers scores 10, 11 goals a game, and Syracuse scores 12. I mean, you know, they're right around the same record, you know, career-wise against each other. And, you know, Rutgers has the, I can't even pronounce his last name, Charlambides, right? He's Charlambides. Wow, I said that. He's got 17 goals. He's going to be the guy that they'll match up with on attack. I think they'll put, obviously, Nick Mellon, who's everybody's All-American, including Tommy the Engineers over here. Not me, but that's okay.
Faceoffs have been a concern for Rutgers this year, winning less than 50%.
Because they don't have Nardella anymore. They don't have Nards even coaching there from Casanova. So Rutgers, don't let them kid you. They'll be ready up for the task.
All right, 315-437-7644 is the number if you'd like to get involved. Again, Steve Panarelli, set to join us about 20 minutes from now. We're brought to you in part by Empower Federal Credit Union and by Tully's. Got to take our first time out. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show, covering all aspects of lacrosse in upstate New York, high school, college, and professional. Brought to you by Empower Federal Credit Union, Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, Kenny and Kenny Law, Tully's, Fallon Oral Surgery, Burger King, and Highfield Enterprises. Here are your hosts, Syracuse lacrosse legend Rick Beardsley and Steve Infante.
Did they go, hold on, Steve, did they go, guys, folks, I'll do what Steve's going to do. This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show. Good morning. All right, so now I'm good.
That's
right?
All I do.
All right,
is that all I'm good
that's
for?
All you do. Legend now, and now we're getting 70s music. Mooney has just really got me feeling extremely old, not nostalgic, because I was born in the 70s. Doesn't mean I could listen to music in the 70s, Steve.
You. It really bothers you that they took out the four-time All-American.
No, it doesn't. I like Legend way better.
I'm not sure.
I like Legend way better because I've never been a legend. I kind of feel good about myself right now. Yeah. By the way, last year Rutgers beat Syracuse, so it's kind of a redemption game, 14-10.
If you were listening, I brought that up last segment.
Yeah, I know, but okay. I was just trying.
You kind of do your own thing.
Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah. And you know, the worst part is I don't really go out on Fridays. I kind of just come here and I'm ready to go feeling fresh. I went to dinner last night with my oldest daughter, Angela. It was a nice dinner. Got a chance to sit down with her. She straight up crushed fried calamari and spaghetti and meat. No, she didn't have meatballs. She ordered meatballs. Dad, I can't eat meat. I forgot. She was like a good Catholic.
Nice. You're doing something right.
Yeah.
So this is a matchup. Two top 20 teams today. You look at the coaches' poll. Syracuse ranked 13th in the coaches' poll.
If Rutgers wins, they'll stay in the top 20, Steve. If they don't, they're out.
Speaking of the top 20, you look at this poll, and there's one team in the poll that's undefeated. Ohio State, and they've played very soft schedule.
You just booched the Buckeyes like that? Wow.
Take a look at their schedule. That's
First
not
of all,
why I brought
I
them up.
I love Nick Myers and Ohio State. If I was a lacrosse player, that's where I would go. You know, if I was a lacrosse player, if I was back in high school, that's where I would be
committed
to.
I'm trying to make a point, okay?
6-0 and ranked 9th, unacceptable.
Trying to make a point.
Big one today, though, Duke-Yale. 3 vs. 4. Just want to let you know that one. You see, there's like I stumped him, folks. He literally looks down. No, he's like, why are you saying that?
Because it's not Duke against Yale, isn't it? It's Cornell Yale.
Cornell Yale. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
That's
dude.
Why I looked down. I was like, what is he talking about?
All right, I mess up a lot. But I thought you looked at me like Ricky Bobby when he goes, I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Well, you stumped me because that was inaccurate.
Well, you know what? Maybe they play him next week. I don't know.
Right, you don't know. Can I finish my point?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Ohio State is undefeated, mm-hmm. and you say it's not a soft schedule. They haven't played a ranked opponent yet.
I know, but Boston University's UMass.
Okay.
Right? Bucknell, Marquette, they all have big wins. I mean, Hofstra's terrible. Just so you know.
Did you name anybody who's in the top 20 just there?
I think UMass is, I believe.
UMass is not in the top 20.
Marquette?
No.
I'm just messing with you, man. I'm just looking at their schedule. I just like the fact that they will. You'll find out today what they're made of. All right, next week with Notre Dame.
Yeah, so it's only taking me about 2.5 minutes to get to my question. Mm-hmm. My question is, okay, mm-hmm. there is one undefeated team. We're 5 or 6 games into the mm-hmm. season. What does that say about parity in college lacrosse?
There's definitely a lot more
than
that, we all
think. Is that a good thing?
Well, that's a great thing. I know that a lot of people out on the internet now, I obviously follow a lot of people on Twitter, follow a lot of people on Instagram, and a lot of the analysts, including myself, are all shaking their head. I just think within the top 10, it's anyone's to win. But if you're outside the top 10, you're really struggling now to get into the playoffs. If you were to stop the picture, you got to get a lot of wins. Now, the good thing about Syracuse's schedule is it's certainly strong enough to get a bunch of quality wins to get that at large. I mean, not the at large, but just to sneak in. You know, just a win at Duke will probably get you in. I mean, a win at Notre Dame. I mean, you know, winning against those two right there get you in.
And they got Cornell, of course, coming up in early April as well. Yeah. And Cornell's, you know, 4-1. Really nice win for Cornell over Towson last week.
Yeah, and then, you know, they lost to Penn State. They really got stomped on pretty good. And then turned it around the next day with a great win over Towson, which I was very surprised. I thought Towson was going to handle him. But again, we had Pete Millman on the show, the Cornell head coach. And Pete does a great job preparing those guys. You know, Pete's a competitor. Those kids work hard. Like, imagine the studies that they have to carry on the road, too. I mean, they were gone for a whole weekend. Yeah. You know, they're gone on a Friday, like a Thursday, I believe they left. They got to carry their studies into the, and it's not like you get Saturday and then you can come home Sunday and you can do some homework.
Well, it is spring break, so they this week's spring
break. You think Ivy Leaguers really go on spring break?
Well, that's my point, is that they didn't have to go back to class this week, I guess was all I was
saying.
I
never
went
to class.
Really?
I didn't.
That's a shocker.
Y3, I know you're listening. You know I didn't go to class. I did online courses, but we didn't have any internet. So I'll let you know.
What?
Steve, what do you want from me?
You're in rare form today. What an event that was, though, in Charlotte last week, that Crown Lacrosse Classic.
Yes.
Cornell, as you said, lost to Penn State in 19-13, then they bounced back against Towson 18-11.
Chris Schiller was the brainchild of that, a Penn State alum who I played with in the pros, a Rochester guy. Chris Schiller, a former one of the greatest defensive midfielders, you know, short stick defensive midfielders of all time, multiple world teamer. He put that together. What a great event to grow the game.
And Cornell has Yale today, as you mentioned. You know, the
didn't
coaches
they have Duke?
in your mind and in your mind only. Cornell ranked 3rd in the country in the media poll, 4th in the country in the coaches poll, and then Yale is 3rd in the country in the coaches poll and 4th in the media poll. That should be a great game. That's a 1 o'clock faceoff today at Yale. The other big picture topic I wanted to bring up today mm-hmm. on the show, as long as we have time, is the dive rule and how that's being officiated. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because there have been mixed reviews about that rule and how it's being called.
I'm on a mixed review also, because I can tell you that the way the rules show, folks, it's you get the crease, and then in front of the crease, you put like an ice cream cone. That's where the dive, technically the way a offensive player needs to go is like in an ice cream cone. So basically pointing towards the middle of the crease if they dive from the front. Then the loophole in the rule is, if the goalie touches the offensive shooting player before the ball crosses the plane and gets in the goal, it's no goal. He made contact. So if I'm a goalie, if I think I can, and number one, because they did it so he can defend himself, and I'm going to tell you what I really think after, I'm just explaining a little bit. If I'm a goalie, I would come out and just make contact. Guy thinks he's going to dive, blow him up. Let the refs call it where it's going to go. Come out stick on stick, try and get into him quick. Now, that being said, you know, I just think it's so odd that they throw fouls that, you know, it's It's a penalty if you hit the goalie. Like, I get that. I really do. You're trying to protect people, right? But I just don't, you know, defenders these days are having trouble with it because they're so used to a guy gets underneath you, you can't push him. Because if you push him, it's a foul. So they're just kind of letting guys go. If you haven't noticed, the guys who, you know, dodge topside, come underneath inside, and then they air out, defensemen are letting them be. I personally think defensemen should just start to punish guys. Who cares? Take the foul. I mean, you can't take it at certain times, but take the foul. That's why you practice man up, man down. You know, the one thing I have been impressed with Syracuse's defense is that they're not afraid to take fouls. I will say they were doing a poke check drill in warmups. That's disgusting. I couldn't believe that was 1984 calling. They want that back. I mean, who does a poke check drill? So that I can say, but I've been impressed with, you know, the way they've defended. They've done a great job. They were a little buried against Hopkins, meaning buried down on the pipes, but they've got great, play out of Kennedy at the midfield. I mean, he's a threat every time he comes down. They've done a, you know, great job in transition. Think about it. You're getting defensive midfield goals, which you didn't get in the past years. Now you are. So, you know, with the dive rule, I think Syracuse, you know, took advantage of. I think they should get more penalties. But all in all, I think the dive rule is a good thing. I think it's good it's back. I personally think you should just let it be the way it was. Goalies are going to get hurt. It's just we're trying to micromanage every injury, which I understand, right? I get that. One part of me understands micromanage every injury, micromanage concussions, micromanage this. We're trying to make the game safer. I get that. Just like they try to make cars safer, they try to make, you know, the world safer place. Sometimes you just got to let, you know, a contact sport be a contact sport. It's just my opinion. I'm a little bit more old school. You know, there's plenty of detractors. There are plenty of guys that will disagree with me. I love the dive. I really do. But like the dunk, for example. Now you can't do the dunk. Right, because when you jump from behind, the air gate or the sky rider, which right. We've seen before, he's jumping towards the goalie, but from behind. So how do you call that? They don't immediately wave that off, but I'd love to see that come back. How great would that be? To see someone jump over the goal like Gary Gate or Matt Ryder?
It's an exciting play.
Yeah. I mean, you know the one thing I've been impressed with? The fans of Central New York. Honestly, folks, if you're going to games like I am, I'm going all the time. We're getting great crowds. Great crowds. I really am enjoying the fact that people are getting into the sport. And the ticket price is like went up like $5 too. Usually people complain about that.
315-437-7644. We got to take another time out. We're brought to you in part by the Kenny and Kenny Law Firm.
Who
and
doesn't
by
like Mike Kenny? Love Mike Kenny from Kenny and Kenny. If I slip on a sidewalk, that's who I'm going to see. Can't lie to you.
All right, we've got the All-American, Steve Panarelli, set to join us on the other side. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show, covering all aspects of lacrosse in upstate New York, high school, college, and professional. Brought to you by Empower Federal Credit Union, Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, Kenny and Kenny Law, Tully's, Fallon Oral Surgery, Burger King, and Highfield Enterprises. Here are your hosts, Syracuse lacrosse legend Rick Beardsley and Steve Infante.
I'm just going to call you the legend from now on.
Would absolutely love that.
Rick Beardsley, Steve Infante with you up until 10 o'clock as we go to the phone lines and we bring on our special guest today. He's an All-American as well. He's a former national champ and currently serving as a lacrosse analyst. Steve Panarelli is our guest on the show. Steve, always great to catch up with you. How are you today?
What's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. Well, let's start with SU, and then we'll broaden out the picture from there. But this is a team that opened the season with a 12-9 loss to Colgate inside the Dome. And since then, they've been pretty good. Rallied last week after a slow start to beat Johns Hopkins. Do you have a feel for what this year's team is all about right now? How good do you think Syracuse is? Do you think they're a top-10 team or could be?
Yeah, I think when you look at Syracuse, obviously after the Colgate loss, you know, you read some of the comment sections and the reaction of the fans, and you know, it's a total meltdown city, and you know, fire Desco, and this is unbelievable. And so I think, you know, they've turned it around a little bit here. I think what the Syracuse fan needs to realize is kind of where this program is at, right? It's a very good program, and it's a very good team, and that's what they are. That's what they've been for quite a number of years, and I think the problem is that the Syracuse fan and the Syracuse alumni are used to not very good, but the best. and, you know, a top four and constantly in Final Fours and national championships. And they haven't gotten that in a while. So I think, you know, I think you just got to, you know, I don't think it's never as good as people think and never as bad. I don't think it's as bad as some of the fans and some of the alumni think. Like I said, they're a very good team right now. They could beat anyone on any given day. And unfortunately, there's going to be some times where if they don't play up to their full potential, I think they can lose to anybody on any given day. So I think, you know, I think, like I said, I think it's kind of where the program's been for quite some time. They've been very good. They've been consistently around that top 10, that top 15, you know, making the first round, the quarterfinals. But again, the Syracuse fan, the lacrosse fan, you know, that's not acceptable. Similar to how if Coach K or Nick Saban was, you know, they were constantly in the top 15 and, you know, playing decent bowl games or losing, you know, in the first round of the NCAA tournament, you know, those types of fans are not going to accept that. You know, they're not going to be happy with that. So, you know, it's Rick's been there. I've been there. It's a lot of pressure as a player, as a coach, you know, to fill the shoes of the guys before you and to keep that tradition standing. Because, again, it's not good enough to be very good. You know, people expect to be great and to be winning championships and to constantly be competing for it. And again, that's just kind of where the program's been the last couple of years. They're a very good team, very good players. Again, could beat anybody on any given day, but hasn't just taken that kind of that next step to get back to, you know, consistency to the Final Fours and winning national championships.
Steve, congrats, number one, on being inducted in the Long Island Lacrosse Hall of Fame. That's a huge honor with the great players that have come out of that part of New York State, number one, Steve. So congrats on that.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. My next question is, now you're a Hall of Famer. You live in Long Island. You are from Long Island. It's a huge part of the recruiting world. What is the vibe on Long Island about SU lacrosse? I remember you and I spoke, there was maybe two guys from the island at one point on the team. Lots of other guys have. So what's kind of like the vibe down there about the program that you see or that you hear?
Well, I think kind of getting back to the point I just made, I think, you know, I think Coach Desko and his staff, those guys have, you know, won national championships, played in big games. I mean, you're not, you know, like I said, you know, some of the fans, you see these crazy things, fire Desko and change the whole staff, and you know, it's the old question, well, who are you going to replace him with? Is that, there's not really anybody, you know, out there that's going to be better than Coach Desko and some of his guys. I think the one thing, I think, from and being from the outside and you and I being in this business and talking to these club guys and these directors, I think the one thing, if you could tweak anything with Syracuse lacrosse, and it's probably just having some type of a salesman, recruiting type guy add it to that staff. I think that's the one thing they're lacking. I think that's the reason why they are a very good team and consistently in, you know, around that top 10 over the last few years. I think they need a young assistant, someone who's going to be willing to live out of his car for 3 months in the summer and constantly work the phones. And I think really hit the recruiting circuit the way their competition is. And those guys that are, you know, maybe constantly in the top five instead of the top 10. And that's the only difference. I think X's and O's, getting the team prepared, coach is the guy. I think he needs someone a little younger on his staff, just one guy that can really grab by the reins and take it and go and get that next level player. And I think, you know, to your point, I think if you talk to some of the Long Island clubs, I think that's kind of their sense too, is they, you know, a little bit more maybe communication, you know, maybe a guy that they can go to constantly, you know, with guys as far as the recruiting. Because, you know, obviously, look, there's certain areas. Obviously, look, you know, Long Island, Central New York, Maryland, parts of Jersey, Pennsylvania, you know, obviously lacrosse has grown and you can grab guys from other areas, which I think they've done a good job of. But you still got to hit those hotbeds and you still got to lock up those certain territories and areas, because that's still where bulk of the talent is coming from. And, you know, like I said, I think that's the one thing. I think if they can have one guy, young guy, that can really recruit it, really get guys excited, because let's face it, it's Syracuse lacrosse. It's got the history. It's got the tradition. It's the best stadium to play in all of college lacrosse by far.
Biggest budget, great, by the way. Biggest budget. $3.1 million, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. Big budget, great school, play in the ACC, I mean, it's got everything. I mean, so they should be consistently, when you're talking, and you look at recruiting classes, just like Alabama is in football, just like Duke, they should be consistently a top three, top four recruiting class year in and year out, and every once in a while grabbing those generational-type players, you know, that we're used to. But again, the landscape has changed. Times have changed. There's more options. So you've got to be a little bit more aggressive in the recruiting aspect. And again, that's the only thing I would tweak, and that's from the outside looking in, is having some young guy that could really do that and really bring some of those other players in that maybe we kind of are lacking at this point, and take us to that next level and get us back to Final Fours and championships.
Steve Panarelli, our guest here on the show. And Steve, you know, a lot there to get to. You mentioned, you know, the game of lacrosse has grown, the landscape has changed, all that. I brought this up to Rick earlier in the show, that you look at the national rankings right now. There's one team in the national rankings with an undefeated record. We're only five or six games into the season. That one team is Ohio State, and they haven't really been tested yet. What does that say about the state of college lacrosse and the parity that, you know, we're a month into the season and essentially we have no more unbeatens?
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I said, you know, talking about the Syracuse fans and kind of the expectations, you know, and I, no disrespect to Rick or myself, but it's not the 80s, it's not the 90s, it's not the early 2000s anymore. You know, it's a totally different game. There's a lot of options out there for kids to go to. You know, when we were playing, Rick and I, it was, you know, Cuse, Hopkins, you know, Virginia and Princeton for a little while there, and that's kind of where, you know, all the great players
Steve,
want to go.
Steve, we weren't going to Princeton. You know, let's just put it there.
No,
let's be honest. We could combine our test scores, and we weren't getting into Princeton.
Well, Coach Tierney called. I told him that. That's another story for another time. But it's changed. There's a lot more talent out there. And that, again, that's why I think it comes back to the recruiting. It's you've got to be so competitive there, because every kid that you can swing to come to you is going to make the difference, because there's so much talent out there. You've got to be on top of that. And I think that's those guys that you've seen, teams like Ohio State and Yale and all these guys, Towson, I think they're doing a great job in that aspect. And now they can compete with guys like Syracuse and Hopkins and Virginia's and the Dukes. So it's a different game. It's a much harder task to win a national championship now than it was 15, 20, 30 years ago. I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for the sport of lacrosse overall. You know, more fans, more teams that are in it. I think it kind of gets boring when it's the same guys over and over again. So it's changing, but I think it's for the better.
So, Steve, you've covered a few games this year on whether it's Lacrosse Sports Network or on radio. Who have you covered that you think is really, really good and not getting a lot of credit?
You know, well,
and who's really bad?
I've seen Towson a bunch. Obviously, they're number one, so they're getting the credit. I still don't think people really kind of believe it yet, but they're really, really good. I tell you, there's a team out there, tough early season loss to Army, which I think will make a run in the CAA and give Towson a little bit of a run for their money, is UMass. I think they get up and down. They're pretty solid in the goal. You know, Coach Cannella always has those guys playing scrappy, playing tough. I think they're a guy that can kind of be a problem late. I think Army's a very good team. I'll get an opportunity to see them go against Loyola in a couple of weeks. I think they're a team that can make some noise towards the end of the year. I think it's still kind of early, Rick. You know, we look at some of these guys, because it's tough to tell. Some teams have beaten other teams, and then they lose a game that they shouldn't lose. So I think, you know, next couple of weeks, a lot of teams are starting to get to their heart of their schedule. Like you guys mentioned Ohio State before. If you look at their next five games, you know, you're talking Hopkins, you're talking...
got Notre Dame next week.
Notre Dame next week. Yeah, I mean, their next five games, they've got Rutgers. So you'll really find out who they are over the next 5 weeks. And I think a lot of teams are kind of facing that, getting into the heart of their schedule. And over the next couple of weeks, you're going to really figure out who's who.
Big one today involving Cornell. Cornell, Yale, third and fourth ranked teams in the country, 1 o'clock at Yale. Have you seen either of those two teams play, and how do you think this one might play itself out?
Well, I think, you know, that game has kind of like become a must watch game in lacrosse over the last few years. I think their styles are very similar. They're going to get up and down, they're going to run. Both teams have got great athletes. I had a chance to watch the kid T play two or three times last year, you know, live and in person. And outside of the guy down in Loyola Spencer, I think he's, you know, if there's 1A, then he's 1B. I mean, he's someone that you have to check out and watch. I mean, he does things that other guys just can't do. So both teams loaded with talent. I think the one thing, you know, when you look at those guys, that could be the difference is the face-off, right? You know, Yale gets the transfer. Cornell's got to be competitive there. I don't know if they're going to go 50-50, but if they can find a way to muck it up and go 30%, that's going to go a long way for them. But I think because of the face-off X, that could be the difference in that game.
All right, Steve, listen, as always, we appreciate the time. We appreciate the insight. Continued success to you, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, Steve.
All right, there he is, Steve Panarelli, former All-American, former national champ. We got to take our final time out on the show. We're brought to you in part by Highfield Associates.
Oh, who doesn't love Joey B? That's my boy. Best call center guy in the world.
And by the Saltine Warrior. Wrap up the show right after
Johnny
this.
Johnny will buy you a drink.
Back after this on ESPN Radio.
This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show, covering all aspects of lacrosse in upstate New York, high school, college, and professional. Brought to you by Empower Federal Credit Union, Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, Kenny and Kenny Law, Tully's, Fallon Oral Surgery, Burger King, and Highfield Enterprises. Here are your hosts, Syracuse lacrosse legend Rick Beardsley and Steve Infante.
Got about 10 minutes left on the Upstate Lacrosse Show. Still time for a phone call or two at 315-437-7644. We've gone the first 45, 50 minutes of this show, Rick, and have yet to mention the SU women. Big win.
Oh, the best.
For Gary Gates ladies.
They're great.
Coming off a really tough loss to Maryland. They played Maryland very close, forced overtime against the second-ranked team in the country. Led that game 6-5, ended up losing it in overtime 12-11. But great effort. They fall short, and then they bounce back with a big win on the road at 16th-ranked Florida, a game that they led early. Florida came back to tie it, and then Syracuse scored with, I believe, 8 seconds left to win that one, 14-13.
What can you say? The only losses for Gary Gate and those girls up on the hill are to the number one team and the number three team, or number two team.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Like, go Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
And he always schedules very difficult.
He doesn't fool around.
No. Last year, it was problematic.
Florida,
they lost a lot of those games. But this year, they're off to a 7-2 start, and they've got some really impressive wins. You mentioned the two losses, but they have some big wins.
Oh, yeah. Huge wins. I mean, Northwestern's a big win. Virginia's a big win. Florida's a big win. They're going to be at Louisville. Louisville's no slouch at this point. Then they're at Harvard, bunch of local girls, at Harvard. They'll take them on Tuesday. Then Notre Dame. I mean, then Duke. Virginia Tech, top 25. Carolina, there you go, number two.
Yeah, such is life.
Number three.
Such is life in the ACC.
And then they get a reprieve against Cornell, final game of the year. But what's concerning me is there's a long drop off from that point on 4-16, last game. Playoffs don't start till May. That's a long time to practice. Can't pick up games. That's a lot of time. You got a lot of time to recover, though. That's a great thing. Women typically, I don't know, and this isn't a chauvinistic thing, women typically get beat up because of the way your hips have to be really strong, so I have a lot of injuries and a lot of the way a woman is built, and I'm not saying anything negative. It's just they don't have the strong enough, the hips aren't very strong. They have to build those hips up, so you need a lot of recovery. And Gary is unbelievable at getting these girls in shape. I mean, these girls are strong. I can't wait to see what they're going to do coming down. I mean, I don't see a loss in their future. Maybe at Carolina is going to be a tough one. I do know University of Albany is going to be a great one. Katie Rowan, former Syracuse All-American, is going to be is at the helm there now. Got some local girls on Albany, like Sam Totoro, who's leading the way. He's 9 in the nation in assists, by the way, Sam Totoro is, for the Great Danes. But I can't wait to see the rest of the schedule. I'll be up at every game I can.
They're on the road this weekend at Louisville tomorrow. Speaking of a women's team that's playing awfully well, how about the Lemoyne women? They are 4-0.
What else can you say about Kathy Taylor?
All four of their wins over ranked opponents.
Yeah.
They're outscoring their opponents. Again, all four of these opponents were ranked 59-29 so far this season. They host Stonehill at noon today. Lemoyne men, they've bounced back after that opening day loss to Mercy. They're now 5-1. They've reeled off five
straight
games.
That's interesting indeed, too, by the way. Merrimack lost to LIU Post, and then Adelphi, and it dropped Merrimack to 7 in the polls, which was odd. You go from 1 to 7. Somebody must be seeing things that we're not seeing. By the way, in that game that they lost, Charlie Bertrand was an absolute animal from Beeville, had 6 goals. He basically was their one shining light in that game. And Adelphi now shoots to number one. And then Lemoyne's just slowly been consistent and crawling themselves back up.
Dolphins have New York Institute of Technology. That's a home game tomorrow.
They've been really shaky, by the way, NYIT.
OCC men, they're off to a 1-2 start. They've lost back-to-back
games.
You told
me to be nice. You told me to be nice. I'm going to be nice.
Well, they're you know, transition. Coaching transitions can always be difficult. They're off to a 1-2 start. They're on the road at Howard Community College tomorrow at noon.
Yes, that's a win. But Sarah, now I in OCC's defense, I did hear that Nassau Community College is absolutely loaded. I do know the rarity of a community college in Harford Community College. A guy by the name of Tom Peace, who is out of Maryland. He's helping coach there. You know, he does a great job of the social media end of things. I think that's why Harford is getting great players out of the Baltimore area. That's why like Essex is losing them. I really think that social media, this is where I'm watching social media take over and help a team. This guy is, he's like a lacrosse guru down there, covers all the games. I mean, he does signings. Like, they don't sign and, let's be honest. Folks, when I tell you, when people sign on the dotted line, when they do all these things like, hey, signing day, unless you're Division II or Division III, I mean Division I, you really don't sign anything. You know, you can sign, you don't get scholarship. So there's really no letter of intent. They've created certain documents to make you feel good. But in D3 and JUCO, there's no signing, right? But he's done like a great job saying, hey, they're signing. I mean, it's good to make the kids feel
sure,
good.
Absolutely.
You know, so he's done an unbelievable job. And of course, 12-8 with a win. And then, you know, OCC only put up 4 goals. Last time I ever put up 4 goals must have been 40 years ago.
The OCC women open up the season on Friday at Harford Community College. Just getting back to the Division I men, Colgate now 3-2. We had the Raiders head coach on last week. They went on to beat Boston University 9-7 in a tight contest. They've got Canisius today at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, Canisius, by the way, bunch of big Canisius alumni in the town, the Vavanese family, they all went there. My old goalie, Matt Vavanese, is the current backup. I think they should kind of roll through him a little bit. Canisius is having a little bit of a rough year. But what can we say? We had Matt Carwick on. His guys are probably refreshed, right, from that spring break trip they took to Atlanta.
That's right.
And now they're coming back to, they're playing away, right?
They're on the road at Canisius.
Oh, my God.
In Buffalo.
They go from Atlanta weather to, but it's got to be snowing in Buffalo.
Yeah, we had Coach Carwick on last week. You wanted to run through a brick wall for him.
Oh, I would. I would kill for the guy.
Let's wrap up the show. We got about a minute left. Getting back to Syracuse-Rutgers today. We always end the show with a prediction from you. Who wins today and why?
Let's be honest. Everybody's been calling me out on my predictions, and you folks have to realize this is not me trying to say, oh, I'm covering my butt here. I have been doing it on purpose. I've realized that every time I pick Syracuse to lose, they win. Okay? I've been doing this on purpose, folks.
It's reverse psychology.
Reverse, the old, as Joe Dirt would say, the old reverse psychology. Okay? But today, I really am going to pick Syracuse to win 14-13. I think Syracuse one goal better. I'm a numbers guy. I think what we're going to see today out of Syracuse is great defense. I think we're going to see great defense because Rutgers is an attack-oriented team. So 50% of their scoring comes from the attack. They got to match up well. But I think the Cuse wins 14-13. Unfortunately, will not be able to get to the game.
Close game,
myself.
You're saying 14-13?
Yeah, 14-13 Syracuse, absolutely.
All right. Real quick, 5-second answer. Is Syracuse a top 10 team?
No.
That was only 1 second.
I know, I'm kidding. I don't think so just now.
Okay.
I don't. I think they're going to win the games that are outside the top 10, and we're good.
All right. For Rick Beardsley, I'm Stephen Fonte. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.